Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. Author Debbie Nall Redman is back with us today to discuss not only her book, Silent Voices, but what it's been like for her to share her very personal story with the world, but also addressing something that I think we don't talk about enough, and that, of course, is mental illness and its effect on all of us, really. We're going to talk to Debbie not only about her brother and what she was able to be able to share about his own journey in the book, but also about what she hopes you're able to take away from her story, knowing that you're not alone and the things that were able to help her. If you're just hearing about Debbie's book, we'll tell you a little bit later how you can get it for yourself. But Debbie, hello to you and welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Cyrus. I'm excited to be on your program.
Well, look, the pleasure's definitely all mine. You know, I think this book is something that is so needed for us at all times. But I think now that you have re-released Silent Voices, Debbie, I think it really does help us to appreciate how that, you know, regardless of who we are or where we are, that these are all issues that we have to be able to address and we have to be able to talk about so that no one feels like they're going through what you went through by themselves. First of all, what made you decide that now was the time to be able to re-release the book?
Well, when the book first came out back in 2011, I felt emotionally rushed to write the book, and I just felt like it wasn't in the right place, and it didn't totally feel good to me. And so I felt it was really important, you know, if you want to spread your message, you want to make sure it's spread correctly. And so I just took a couple years, and I kind of wrote it, added some more stories and more pictures, and I just got it into a more positive place where I felt good about it and felt good about sharing it.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned about sharing because, you know, was it easy for you initially to be able to say, I want to be able to share this with the world? Or did you know when you were writing it initially, Debbie, that this wasn't just for you, that this was something the world needed to know about?
Well, it's funny you ask me that because I originally wrote the book maybe 15, 20 years ago. And I started writing notes and, you know, I told my family I was writing it and they all approved. But some kept holding me back. And I think it was myself. Like I was afraid still to share the story. I was afraid what people would think. Would they understand? And I also just felt like I needed to respect my family's privacy a little bit. And maybe they weren't emotionally ready to share it themselves. And so I put it away. And then my brother Ricky had passed away. And my mom encouraged me to bring the notes back out and rewrite it. And she's the one that really pushed me to share the story. And she wanted everyone to know the difficulties we went through on trying to get help. And she felt it was important to share that story because so many people were experiencing the same things we were. And so I just thought, you know, she's right. And so I pulled it back out and started writing again.
Right. You know, I was thinking when I was prepping for this segment with you, Debbie, that, you know, none of us, it's not easy to go through any difficult time. But I think, you know, when it's something that hits literally so close to home, it makes it even more, you know, sensitive for us. But I think, you know, to know that it was something that, you know, that happened that was such a tragedy in your family and that affected so many different people, you know, was that part of your healing also and being able to kind of reflect on this journey? Was that part of what kind of helped you moving forward?
Yeah, you know, it felt like it released the monkey off my back because there were so many things I wanted to say and share that I wasn't able to do when this all happened to our family because I was only 17 at the time. And,
right.
You know, at 17, people don't understand, you know, your friends are immature and young. They don't understand what you're going through. So you have to keep everything to yourself. And so I found it very, very healing. And, it was such a great experience to write it. I just felt like I released all that emotion. It was great. I mean, I'm really glad I did it.
Yeah, that is such a great thing. And I'm glad you mentioned about the release because one of the things that you mentioned in the book is it took place in 2009 when what you call Ricky giving your mom a gift and letting
right.
her know. Because I think so many times we see things that happen, unfortunately, and we blame ourselves. We second guess. Okay, could I have done something? You know, is this my fault? And one of the things that you record in the book that Ricky said to your mother was that, you know, that everything that happened was not your fault. You were a good mom. How did you know, you know, that really helped her in being able to move forward?
You know, both of my parents carried so much guilt of what happened to our family, and, you know, they did the best that they could do. I mean, I admire their courage and strength for what they did for the family and for my brother. And I saw the pain and suffering my parents went through. And, you know, they cried a lot and they argued a lot. And, you know, a lot of things, emotions came out and it affected, you know, how the family dynamics were and were people blaming each other. And, you know, you had to work through that whole process to get to a good spot. But there was always that one little part that wasn't healed. And did Ricky really recognize the pain he caused the family? And so when he acknowledged that to my parents and acknowledged that it wasn't their fault and that they were great parents and they did the best they could, I mean, it was a very enlightening, I think, experience for my mom. I know she cried, and I, you know, it almost makes me want to cry when I think about it, but, you know, yeah, something that she really needed, I think, to move on and to let it go. And so it was a real gift for him to do that. And I kind of wonder if spirituality played into it, like, because Ricky had passed away, you know, it was only a month or two after that. And so did he know that, you know, was it a God's gift, you know, knowing? Did he know he was going to die? We don't really know.
Sure.
But the timing was just really impeccable, I thought, that it happened right then and there.
I think that is so true. And I think, again, that is something that all of us can relate to in some form or fashion, Debbie, when it comes to timing and being able to reflect back, but also I think on the peace that we all try to have. For those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. I'm excited to welcome back to our program today Debbie Nall Redmond. She's the author of the book Silent Voices. She was sharing with us earlier about why it was time for her to revisit the book, to revise the book, and to be able to share it with us again. The subtitle that's on the cover of the book is A True Story of One Family's Tragedy and Journey Towards Acceptance, Grace, and Forgiveness. You know, I think those three things in themselves, Debbie, are so difficult separately, but to try to collectively do it definitely has to be a process. Would you say that forgiveness was the most difficult part of the journey?
You know, I think it depends on the person. For me, the forgiveness happened right away. I had no issue with forgiveness with my brother because I loved him, I adored him, I looked up to him, but I saw his illness and I saw what it did to him. And so I know what he did was due to the illness, not him as a human being and as a spiritual soul. You know what I mean? And
right.
So for me, it was very easy to forgive because I had that strong faith within me. But I think each one of us kids and each family member went through that forgiveness in their own time and in their own way. And I think some of my siblings took many, many years. Whereas for me, that process was actually somewhat quick. There was just no way for me to hold a grudge against somebody that, you know, he didn't ask to be sick. He didn't want this. It, you know, unfortunately it just happened and it was something that, you know, was his path. And, you know, so it makes it, I think, a little easier to forgive when you kind of know that.
Gotcha. So as you're talking to other people, Debbie, then, I mean, are they surprised at that? Because I think for a lot of our audience, they would think that forgiveness would be probably the most difficult. And I think, you know, even as we talked earlier about the gift that he gave your mother, you know, and it may be forgiveness of, you know, of different individuals. You know, what has it been like for you to see the response as you've been able to share with others about how that was probably one of the easiest things for you in the process?
You know, at first, a lot of people didn't believe me, but they didn't live that life. They didn't see the pain and suffering he, too, was going through on a daily basis. I saw him cry every day. I saw him in agony and pain and confusion and, you know, being drugged out from medications and living with the guilt for what he did. You know, so when you see that and you experience that, forgiveness comes very easily, because if you have an open heart and you have love in your heart, it comes to you naturally. And so there was just no way I couldn't forgive him, you know? So I think you have to actually live the experience to understand it. And so I know a lot of people don't understand, but it's kind of funny. It was actually, I mentioned to my husband the other night, it was like, it's funny how a serious tragedy or a serious thing could happen to you and you could find it in your heart to forgive. But why is it so difficult when it's you get in a fight with a friend or with a family member or something so non-important, and it's so hard to forgive?
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's a
weird balance, but it worked for me, and I don't know why. I don't know if it was my faith. I don't know why for me it was easier than it was for my siblings, but,
right.
You know, it just was. I can't explain it.
Right. Well, I think that's the thing, and I think the important thing is it was your journey, and I think that is something that is great, because it does help to be able to know that, to be able to find that forgiveness for sure, because really, I mean, to not have it, I mean, doesn't do anything but hurt the individual. So I think, you know, it's great that you're being able to do that. You know, I think the other side of this is, you know, and we're talking about the sad thing for me, Debbie, when I was thinking about your segment and even, you know, having a conversation with you about the re-release of the book just online, was that, you know, here we are in 2016, and we are still hearing about so many of these cases of individuals, you know, who are dealing with mental illness, that are dealing with different things, and, you know, and the tragedies that happen. You know, what is your hope? I mean, I can imagine, I mean, when you have experienced a personal tragedy, you know, that, of course, you become more keenly, I think, sensitive to those kind of things, I would imagine, and I'll let you answer that. But when you hear of these cases, and you hear of people who have done these things and hurt other people, and you find out that mental illness played a part, you know, does that kind of bring it back up for you?
Yeah, it does, actually. Every time I see a news story, it's like when I hear mental illness, if there's been a shooting or something, my heart stops for a minute, and then you kind of get that tight feeling in your tummy, and, you know, you kind of, it does bring back instant feelings, and it bothers me, but, you know, you also, you know, have to learn to deal with it and, you know, move on. But I guess that's the point of why I wanted to bring up the book, is because nothing has really changed in 30 years. You know, people are still having difficulties getting help and medicine. And there's, you know, granted, I will say things have gotten better in 30 years in the sense of information and books and internet, and you could educate yourself, and there's, you know, there's groups you could join, and there's more like NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, is a great group that try to help people with mental illness or family members to deal with it and educate them and counsel them. And, you know, so there is more groups happening, more programs being developed, which is great. But the basics of getting medicine and getting the doctors and getting the help that truly is needed is still lacking. And they're still lacking a lot of government programs, too.
Right. I think that is the truth. So, do you think one of the things that has happened throughout this process, because it's very easy, Debbie, I think for any of us, when we're going through a tragedy or a difficult situation, to turn inward. Do you think one of the things that has happened is that you are now using your voice, using your platform, as a survivor, as someone who knows what is possible, knows what mental illness does to the individual and the family, to be able to help others, do you see that now as part of the journey that you were meant to live?
Yes, I knew in my heart I needed to do something when the tragedy happened, because I survived that day for a reason. And
Right. And
so the way I looked as, you need to make a positive out of a negative. And I wasn't going to let people die in vain. I needed to speak my voice, because I had to keep my voice quiet for so long. But I guess mostly in my heart, I just want people to learn compassion and understanding what families go through, because I still see a lot of social stigma against mental illness and people making fun of it. And that really, really bothers me. And I don't think people really realize how difficult a disease can be, and that it is a disease. It's not a personality problem. It's not a joke. It's something very serious, and families have to deal with it. So I guess the main thing I want to get from my book or to teach people is compassion, and teach them to understand that it is a difficult journey, and we need to respect it like any other illness.
Yeah, I think that is so true. And I think, and I'm so glad you said that, because there are so many things that other people are going through. One of the things that you discuss in the book that I honestly didn't remember the first time I read it, Debbie, was that one of the things that had happened before the death of your brothers was your father getting rid of the guns and taking them to a friend's house, but the friend's daughter had suicidal tendencies, again showing, you know, that there are so many different things that people are dealing with, and a lot of times we don't know. And I think for me that's one of the big takeaways. You cannot look at someone and just and really know what they're going through. It really is important to really get to know people and not to paint everyone with a broad brush. Is that also part of what you hope, is that when people hear even mental illness, that they're not so quick to judge, but actually get to know the individual and know what they're going through?
Absolutely, because everybody handles mental illness differently, and as you know, there's different types of mental illness, depression, bipolar, schizophrenia, and so forth, and, you know, it affects families differently, but just because somebody has an illness doesn't mean that they should be shunned or ignored or passed judgment on. I mean, we don't do that to people who have cancer or MS or MD or heart disease or anything else. It's all a disease. It's just mental illness is a disease of the brain besides the body. And so why can't we learn to respect that and treat it with, you know, dignity? And it frustrates me that mental illness is put in a different category.
Yeah. You talked about school after this, and I bring this up because, again, there's so many people who, again, you know, are dealing with, you know, some of the after effects of a tragedy. You say in the book, school was also tough. I could not concentrate. I didn't fit in, and no one understood what I was going through. My senior year was an awful year. I wanted to feel normal, like a teenager, but I felt so old and tired. I felt pulled in many directions. I wanted to be that teenager who fits in and is invited to parties. I wanted to be that fun and likable friend. I wanted to be a supportive sister, and I wanted to be an understanding daughter. But in reality, I was withdrawn, confused, lonely, scared, sad, and most importantly, I felt survivor's guilt. I just didn't know how to deal with all of those emotions. So I kept to myself most of the time and missed out on all the fun activities and parties. I wanted to share that because I think, you know, as you go on to say, Debbie, high school was supposed to be the best time of my life. I always wondered, would I ever feel better? Would it ever get easier? Would I ever forget? These questions haunted me every day. What was it like for you to reflect on that? That time in your life when you wondered, could I get better? Could would this always be the way I felt? Was it possible for the sun to shine in my life again?
You know, when I thought back on everything, it really, you know, broke my heart and made me really sad because I knew how much I missed out on things. And the sad part is, you know, I talked to a lot of my friends. You know, they didn't know everything I went through. So when they read the book, they were shocked. And, you know, the letters and the notes that I got from friends from high school and stuff, like, if you just would have talked to us, we would have been there for you. And it's really sad that I didn't trust them to think that maybe I could have, besides thinking I had to hold everything in. So it makes me sad thinking back that, you know, I at least didn't try to communicate a little bit with people. I think, you know, if I was going to teach any teenagers now, that would probably be one thing I would try to teach, is if they are experiencing difficult times, don't be afraid to speak up or talk to anyone from family, counselors, family, friends, you know, friends and their parents, anyone you feel comfortable with. So it's sad that I struggled for quite a few years on feeling that loneliness and the grief and the depression of losing the ones you love, and your whole family life has changed. The dynamics have all changed. You know, we were a very happy family, and then it turned out, you know, we were all depressed and going through our own journeys alone, trying to figure it out, trying to understand it all. Why did it happen to our family? And back then, there wasn't support groups, and there wasn't the internet and information, and you know, so there wasn't all these things that we could do to help our family or myself either. So you just had to take one day at a time and work through it slowly.
Right.
But I read a lot of motivational books. I read a lot of motivational books and spiritual books to kind of help me through that journey.
And you even give, right after the account that I read, Debbie, you give a great account about the doves that I think people
appreciate. Yeah, that was the aha moment.
for sure. Yeah, again, everyone, Debbie Nahl Redmond is our guest once again. We're talking with her about her book, Silent Voices, A True Story of One's Family's Tragedy and Journey Towards Acceptance, Grace, and Forgiveness. We're talking with Debbie not only about what it's been like for her to share her story with all of you, but also to see the response. You mentioned the internet, Debbie, so we have to talk about that because that is, of course, how we set up this conversation and how, you know, of course, a lot of us are communicating these days. You know, what has it been like for you to now to use those resources and also to add your voices to those that are being shared online of survivors, but also those who can be encouragement to others?
I think it's great. I mean, it's a really a nice avenue to have to be able to communicate with people all across the world, the nation, and, you know, places you would never dream you could have. And, you know, I've received emails, from folks like at a book signing or where I was selling the book, how after they read the book, it really moved them and taught them things they didn't know. And just when you get that acknowledgement back, it makes you feel like, oh, yeah, I did do the right thing. Because sometimes I question, did I do the right thing? Should I have written the book? Should I have shared the story? And so when you get that, it makes you feel good, and it makes you know you're heading down the right road and doing the right thing. And so I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, I know there are so many people who will appreciate this, Debbie, because they now have someone who can understand what they're going through. And I think that's the thing. I think the worst thing in life is for us to feel as though we're going through something alone. And I think when there's a book like Silent Voices that reminds us that, you know, all of us are going through something, but also that you can still find happiness and joy and peace after a tragedy in our lives, I think that is the thing, because there are so many people that are hurting. And I think to know that that peace can come, that forgiveness can come, and then, of course, being able to move forward and to thrive. And I think that's what you've been able to do and what you're showing other people is possible as well. Again, everyone, Debbie Nahl Redmond has been our guest. Great conversation with you, Debbie, as I knew it would be. Silent Voices, again, is the title of the book. It's available through our friends at Amazon.com. Debbie also has a Facebook page. I actually posted the link on my Facebook page. I hope you guys will go over there and like the page, interact with her there. And once you've gotten the book and read it, make sure you share your thoughts with Debbie there as well. She'd love to be able to hear from you. And then, of course, we'll be recapping that as well, hoping that you all will be able to share your thoughts from this conversation as well. Debbie also has a website set up for you all to find out more information about her and to stay connected with her. It's DebbieRedmond.com. It's where you all can go to stay connected with her there. And Debbie, you know, I'm so excited that we can reconnect again, that we can talk about the book, but also that you can share with people, you know, about how peace can be theirs. And I think that's the thing. Peace can be theirs. Forgiveness can be theirs. And joy and happiness can be theirs once again. And it goes without saying, you're welcome back here anytime.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I feel good about it, and I just hope people, you know, learn something from the book and, you know, learn compassion and understanding most of all. So if you like the book, please let me know. I'd love to hear from you.
So make sure you all are definitely staying connected with Debbie and share your thoughts with her. Again, that website is DebbieRedmond.com. And then, as I said, make sure you all like her Facebook fan page. It's Silent Voices. You all can find it there again on our page as well. We thank you all for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. For our radio audience, stay where you are. There's more Conversations Live to come for you. For those joining us online, though, we are going to lose you. So if you came in late, you missed part of the conversation with Debbie, don't worry. Thanks to our online friends, you all can catch the replay right after we go off the air. The link is already available through our social media site. So head over to Facebook.com/CyrusWeb or go over to Twitter.com/CyrusWeb. We'll be tweeting more about this issue of mental illness this afternoon. So make sure you all are following me on Twitter at Cyrus Webb, and we'll be actually tweeting about parts of Debbie's conversation here as well as her book there as well. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Make sure you take out time to enjoy some good music as well as a great book. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. You all make it a great one.